So Joe Rogan is in Texas now, is that right?
Yeah, and like, honestly, like, why do people like him so much?
Is he in Austin?
I'm not aware of his whereabouts.
He definitely moved. I don't know where in Texas, but people like him because he's a fucking dumbass. He's just he's like a normal dude who's just like, who got really rich.
He's like a true libertarian, but he's like also just like a moderate centrist, and it's like, I don't like that.
He had Bernie on the podcast.
Yeah, but he also had Ben Shapiro on the podcast.
He has way more people on the podcast than Ben Shapiro. He's fucking Jordan Peterson on the podcast.
Oh my God.
I think there's been multiple times where he said, like, Jordan Peterson is the smartest person I know.
I just remember him having Ben Shapiro on, and Ben Shapiro being like, well, like, trans women are just men in skirts. And Joe Rogan was like, man, yeah.
He agrees with everyone.
And like, it's no secret I hate Elon Musk, but Elon Musk on the Joe Rogan podcast, everybody freaked out because he like hit a blunt, but it was a mouth hit, and he didn't inhale.
Yeah, Joe Rogan, full-on libertarian, full-on... I mean, he likes to say he's a classical liberal, but that's a dog whistle, they call it, for racism.
I just don't understand, like, how is it the most successful podcast in America?
He's literally the biggest podcast.
That's insane.
Like, literally, the biggest, number one.
The fact
biggest.
That we aren't the biggest podcast.
Ah, come on, we're already two episodes in. What are you doing, internet?
Come on, guys. Oh my God, yeah. Fuck Joe Rogan. Okay.
Fuck Joe Rogan. Fuck Ben Shapiro.
Hey guys, today we promise this will be the last we talk about Ben Shapiro or Joe Rogan. Today we're talking about Ari Aster and his films.
Yes.
My name is Stella Drew Sheldon.
And my name is Graham Wheeler Nelson. And this is Anything But Spielberg.
Yeah. So today we're talking about Ari Aster. He's also one of my favorite directors, just saying.
He's one of the most talented modern directors.
Yeah, like, and, I mean, he's still really, like, green in terms of, like, the scope of the industry, but, like, I mean, you can tell he's already huge and amazing, but, like, I just can't wait to see what else he does. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's incredible that he's only done two films.
Yeah, no, that's what we were saying, like, when we started this podcast, was, like, I was looking through his, like, filmography, and I was like, oh, surely he's done, like, about, like, five or six films that I've seen, and it's just two.
Yeah,
they're just like short films.
It's insane, but he seems like such already such a prolific and competent is such a weak word to use. I feel like you can't say
he's
that.
He's not a fucking idiot.
He's competent, guys, but just in the sense where it's like people's first movie. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
So, our usual disclaimer: there will be spoilers if you haven't seen these movies. If you haven't seen the two fucking movies, Hereditary and Midsommar, you gotta get on that right now. I don't care if you don't like horror movies. They're essential viewing.
What are you doing?
You can't sit with us.
You haven't seen Hereditary. And you haven't seen Midsommar. And yet you're listening to this podcast.
What are you doing?
Fuck you. Sorry. I didn't. Come on.
He didn't mean that. Go watch it. Come back. Okay, so a little bit about our boy Ari Aster. Also born in New York City.
Seems to be a trend.
so far. I don't know. Conspiracy?
Is there something about that New York? Something why they named it twice, eh? That's a strange move. I'd imagine that he would have gone to college in New York or another city, not New Mexico.
I've always wanted to go to New Mexico.
I would want to live in Zion National Forest.
In the woods.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't want to live in Tucson. I feel like living in Tucson, Arizona. I don't know.
I would like to live in the middle of nowhere, Arizona. I love the heat. I don't know why I live in New England. Yeah.
And it's a dry heat too, so it'd be okay.
Yeah, and it's not humid or sweaty. You're just chilling definitely. And it's hot. And,
yeah,
and
you'll acclimate.
There's sand and cacti.
Or in what's that desert in California? That Joshua tree.
Dude, California is on fire right
now. Oh, we're talking about current events also. I forgot to mention that. California's on fire. We can see it in Boston.
Yeah, literally you walk outside in Boston right now, and especially once it gets more dusky out, it's the sky's a little just pink.
Yeah, it's creepy. Like, it looks overcast, even though the forecast.
Yeah,
is
even
clear.
If it's like sunny, it's fucked up.
Yeah, it's spooky.
Yeah. So other current events.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but I don't want to be the one to break the news. But RBG died.
Yeah, literally, Graham showed up to my apartment, and the first thing he told me was that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, and like, and it was announced right as he got here. So, did we do this?
It can't be our fault. Like, we weren't. She had cancer. She was in the hospital. She's an old woman. Respectable. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, and we're definitely all fucked now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been fucked, but like,
we're even deeper fucked now.
I hope that the world, if the world ends, that
it's gonna,
this podcast is just gonna be like the last relic of media that
like
exists.
The anthropologists will dig up this, and the archaeologists, and they'll be like, this was what they were doing while the world was ending.
It's fucking idiot.
It's like that one meme where it's like, what did you do during the war, daddy? And he's like, I fucked off and recorded a podcast about Ari Aster.
Oh, we are the worst.
But, hey, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? So, yeah, RBG is gone, which leaves just nothing much. Nothing much to prevent us from just descending into absolute fascism, but, like, it's going to happen.
It's a thin veil that has been pierced.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. Also, Trump is banning TikTok starting this weekend.
This is the first step in fascism. You know, in the National Holocaust Museum, they have that list where it's like the 10 steps to fascism. And number one is banning TikTok.
Well, I think you know that things are getting pretty fascist when you have people in this country literally saying, like, fascism isn't that bad. Like, yeah, I'm a proud fascist.
Yeah,
it's
that,
like,
should not be the reaction.
Like, you shouldn't do that. You don't know what that means.
Yeah,
I don't think that means what you think it means.
And even if you do know what it means, go back to Germany in 1939, bitch. Like, get out of town.
Get out of here with that.
Hey, this town ain't big enough for your fascism.
I will talk about Ben Shapiro a little bit more. Okay. But, like, his whole thing of, like, thinking that he is, like, just a conservative libertarian, hilarious, because he's not.
They all say that. They're all like, no, I'm a centrist, bro, and they're, like, far right. Yeah. Like, oh, this swastika, it means it means peace in Buddhism. Didn't you know? I'm a centrist.
Like, I'm not racist. I'm just in the KKK.
That's his go-to.
You
can't
do that.
It's like Charlie
Jesus
Kirk.
Christ.
Fuck.
Yeah, so we're screwed. But yeah, so TikTok's gonna go away. I think all of the Hype House kids, they're all gonna die.
That's probably okay.
I mean, yeah, but like, they're also all like 13.
We can spare them. They're all those people who are doing the dances. It's like,
yeah.
Well, and I mean, not even the intricate dances, like the bad dances.
Oh, yeah, the one,
like,
or like,
I'm attractive and I'm going to make eye contact with the camera and that's my dance.
Or when it's like just somebody like in front of like a tweet behind them and just like pointing at it. I hate that shit so much. That's the laziest thing I've ever seen.
I fucking hate TikTok.
I like TikToks because I have like perfectly calibrated my feed to my For You page. Is all cat videos.
That's good.
And that's a win. That's a win good. For sure. So back to Ari Aster. I couldn't find a single thing about his personal life, which is great.
Again, he's an enigma.
Yeah, but like, that's, I feel like usually he's like enough in the public eye to where you'd think like there'd be some stuff about him, but like,
he's like a huge, the huge new guy. Like, that's the thing now.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know about him. Is he seeing someone? Is he okay?
He's okay, because like Charlie Kaufman, where it's like he's a normal guy who makes...
He seems normal.
Very,
I mean,
he has a normal life externally, is what I mean.
I mean, who knows?
And like, yeah. But from what we can tell, like David Lynch. Like, David Lynch is such a jolly old fella.
Well, David Lynch, but like, he's also insane.
No, he's also had like a spiritual awakening where he's like transcendental meditation.
Yeah, but
Maharishi Mahesh.
He's been that way his entire life. Also, like, transcendental meditation.
That's a ripoff.
I love David Lynch, but that shit's a scam.
Transcendental meditation specifically is a scam. They're like a fucking, like, they're Scientology.
Okay, it's like, it's meditation, which is just, like, something you can do anywhere. Yeah. And then they're like, but actually, you have to pay for this meditation.
It's like, you're going to pay me $1,000 to whisper in my ear some weird words.
Have you seen the video where he, like, tries to explain it?
Yeah, I love that video. That video, I watch that video all the time. I showed Corey that video, and he was like, I don't get it.
Get out of here, Corey.
I was like, fuck you, Corey.
But yeah, that video is fantastic. His weather reports.
I always get those recommended to me, and I'm like, I better watch it. It's only like a minute.
Someday we'll do a David Lynch episode, and it'll be 3 hours long. I have so much to say.
It's so good.
Not until you watch Twin Peaks, though.
I've seen a couple episodes of Twin Peaks, but I need to watch it.
You gotta watch the whole thing. You gotta watch season 3.
I understand.
It's just the way it is.
And fucking Fire Walk With Me. I'm fucking the other one.
You like Mulholland Drive, though.
Yeah, it was a good movie, but I like The Elephant Man.
I like The Elephant Man.
Like, obviously, I guess. But I like Eraserhead was creepy. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Eraserhead's good.
I like the story of it being made, and he's like, I walked around with it in my briefcase, and I showed it to the executives.
That's what I'm saying. Lynch is insane. Like,
he's
a crazy man.
Oh, yeah, undeniably. But he's also very jolly.
He is jolly. Because he's, like, on that transcendental meditation shit.
It's true. And they're creepy, too, all those transcendental meditation guys. They're all in, like, suits, and they're like, we'll whisper in your ear.
I think if we ever are not, like, broke, like, super just, like, broke in general, we should try transcendental meditation. Just for the memes.
Meditation. We can just do, like, a mantra meditation.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I meditate all the time.
Yeah, me too. Do you do, like, what meditation do you do?
Well, I don't do, like, anything, like, special. I do some guided stuff, but, like, usually I do yoga, like, every day, every other day. And I just, when I do, like, my end shavasana, I'll just, like, try and do, like, the water stream thing that my therapist told me to do.
Yeah, I love that. I do the one where it's like, you watch your breath.
Oh, that one's like, good.
I don't try and control it.
The one like, where you try and like it. Focus on a specific sound. Ooh. And like just like think about that sound. Because I'm so bad at not thinking about anything. I hate that shit.
Yeah, the breath is just so easy because it always happens, even if you don't even know it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, there I am.
there I go breathing again.
It's like, oh, well, I was thinking just now. What the fuck?
It's really good. Okay.
Okay, anyway, okay. Ari Aster.
So, yeah, he's a mystery man. Hopefully someday we'll learn more about him.
Maybe they'll make a movie
Maybe
about
he'll
him.
Come on our podcast.
Maybe he'll come out on our podcast.
Whoa. That's a leap.
Who knows? He's an enigma.
I did see... Did you ever watch the Nick Spears video on Hereditary?
Nick Spears?
Nick Spears. It left his YouTube, but not that prominent.
No, I didn't.
It's a hot take on Hereditary, but I'll get to that once we get to Hereditary. Okay. What would you say your like feelings toward or impressions of his work in general are?
Fucking love it. I love both Hereditary and Midsommar. Both as a collective, like, general, like, fucking canon of the horror movie genre, but also just, like, oh, man, the psychological bent to it. Like, it's not just, like, oh, this guy's got a knife, or, like, there's a cult. It's, like, oh, fuck, we're digging deep. We're digging deep. And personally, I don't know if we want to say this now, but I prefer Midsommar. Hereditary.
This is a point of contention. I prefer Hereditary. We'll get there. We'll get there in a bit.
That's a teaser.
So I'd say, I mean, I also love Ari Aster. Just Stella and Graham agreeing for an hour.
How can you not love Ari Aster?
It's amazing. I think what he's doing, like, specifically for the horror genre is, like, pretty fantastic. Yeah. I mean, Jordan Peele's amazing. I wouldn't say Peele's quite at the same time.
I feel like Us was less revolutionary or less sort
Actually,
of...
Actually, I liked Us more than Get Out.
I like Get Out more than Us.
I like them both for different reasons. Yeah. But I thought
I like Us as a horror movie.
Us was a little more abstract, but I will admit it's like it's internal, like just like making sense of it. There's you have to like suspend a lot of disbelief.
Yeah, you can definitely just like read the surface of Get Out and be like, ah, the race.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the race.
Like I feel like Us is definitely trying to like say a little. Anyway, yeah, we're not talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah, no. But I think A24. I fucking hate to say it. I don't have an A24 lighter. Don't get me wrong, but A24 has done a lot for horror movies and independent movies.
Oh yeah, and well, and A24 and Blumhouse.
Oh yeah, oh,
I'd say because like I mean Blumhouse stuff. It's not like it's like
it's like they pump out a lot of shit, but every now and then
it's not like it's keepers. Excellent, but it is like better horror than we were getting in the early 2000s at any point.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
No, I think we're in like a kind of a second wave like horror renaissance because I think like. The late 70s, early 80s were a really, really good time for horror. And then,
classic.
Like, I mean, the, like, late 80s, early 90s of, like, the slasher flick was also, like, pretty amazing. But then, like, I mean, I love early 2000s horror, but I'm not going to in any way defend them or say that they're good.
Yeah, no thank you. No thank you.
You know my love for Final Destination. It's
I watched all the deaths on YouTube when I was probably, like, 8.
I love those movies so much, and you know why? It's because literally all of them operate by the, like, it's the same movie every single time.
Literally.
It's not like they think of anything different. It's like, okay, the thing happens, they all slowly figure out that this is what's happening to all of them, and then they figure out the same thing every movie, and then they still all die at the end, and that's how every movie goes.
And it's always a black guy who tells them the secret.
No, the movie's insane, and it makes you terrified of ever driving behind a logging truck.
Think about that, or a roller coaster, or the shower, or an airplane.
Yeah, I don't think it successfully made me that paranoid, but, like, it definitely could.
When I was, like, 8 when I first saw it, and Psycho when I saw that, when I was, like, probably 8, you're, like, too young, and I was like, oh, fuck the shower.
I'm also a big Saw movies fan.
Ooh, I watched all those deaths on YouTube too. I never saw the full ones. I think I saw the full first one.
I went down a marathon and saw
the sixth one.
Honestly, the first one's decent, but like I've seen them all.
Yeah.
I saw them all consecutively.
Oh
and
Jesus!
You know what? The internal logic in the Saw movies is like actually quite interesting.
Correct or interesting?
No, the correctness doesn't matter. So, like, the idea of it is that the dude who's, like, orchestrating it all had, like, a near-death experience, and it taught him to, like, appreciate life more. And from then on, he, like, makes people do the same thing, like, so they can experience the same thing
but
he did.
But then they actually die.
Well, but his, like, he's also insane, and his logic is that if they die, then they weren't ready to, like, accept life and live to the fullest. But then if they, like, make it through it and live, that means that they really wanted to live.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucked up, but it's more interesting of a concept than you might think would come out of the Saw movies.
I saw one Saw movie where it was an insurance man, and he was like a life insurance man. Oh. And he was like, I deny you life insurance, old woman. And then like the old woman came back while he was all tied up, and she was like, you denied me life insurance.
I think you should narrate all the Saw. Underrated movie series is the Cube movies.
Oh, those are creepy.
Have you seen all of them?
I saw the first one.
Okay, you need to watch the second two because it's only 3. And it's like a trilogy. Like, they all connect to each other.
Shit.
And the third one especially is ridiculous at some points, but it's also really fucking good. And, like, oh, God, I love those movies.
Ooh.
They're insane.
Oof. Yeah.
But I also love, like, torture porn, like, that kind
of
shit.
Yeah. I went through a long phase of multiple years and years where I would watch those videos on, like, r/WTF and, like, watch people die and, like, live leak. And, like, that can't be healthy. Did you do that? Did you watch all that?
I didn't, but I would have had, I mean, I was, like, just a little Tumblr bitch.
Yeah.
I think that's the bad. Like younger boy equivalent of like of just being like a Tumblr fan fiction reader. But yeah, if that was still like more of a thing, I think I probably like would have gotten to it at some point.
I'm so glad it's not a thing.
It's like it's got to be so psychologically damaging though.
Probably. I don't know. I don't have anything to base it off of.
I know. I will say like I watch a lot of like gory movies and like I play like violent video games and stuff, but like anytime I see blood in person, it still freaks me the fuck out. Yeah. Like I would not say I'm desensitized in person to things. I just am like,
yeah, I agree.
To virtual things, which I feel like is healthy, but I feel like, I don't know.
It's an abstraction, is that it's healthy to know what's not real and what is real.
Yeah, but there's, like, always the general perception that if you, like, just watch violent things, it'll just, like, translate over to real life, which I think is a fallacy. I feel
like
that's,
like, Tipper Gore, like, yeah, like, this is your brain on video games. We're gonna eat it.
Delicious Ari Aster. Egg.
Oh, yeah, Ari Aster. So... should we...
let's dive into Hereditary and Midsommar.
So Hereditary. We'll start with Hereditary because that was his first movie. I think it's the scarier of the two. It's like genuinely creepy, like conventionally creepy.
This was... I think Hereditary was the first movie I've seen in like my adult life where I saw it and I was like genuinely really afraid while watching it.
Yeah, I saw it in an empty theater.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Spooky.
It's like... So I think it, and it works so well as a horror movie on so many levels. Like, I think the first of all being that it's like, it's an emotional horror movie. Like it's not appealing just to your like adrenaline or your fight or flight. It's like appealing to like these feelings that exist in us that like are really terrifying.
Yeah. That was what so fascinated me when I first saw it, is that the first half of the movie, there's nothing scary that happens.
No.
It's like all just like building up this family and like these are their troubles. And then it's like, oh my God, like the thing happens. And then it's like,
we've already established that we're doing
spoilers. Oh yeah, the woman's head, the kid's head gets chopped off.
But that scene literally turned my stomach.
It's so like, well done.
Also, like, I feel like this doesn't get talked about enough, but in the promotions, they really made the movie seem like it was going to be about the girl, like, the entire movie. Like, they really, like, it was a shock.
Yeah. It was good marketing and good fucking, like, timing. Because it was, like, that shot that just, like, hangs for, like, 20 seconds.
And, like, just, like, on, like, his face, too.
And he's like, such a young actor. Like, I've never heard of him, but he was so fucking good.
He was so good.
Like, who the fuck? Like, if you told, like, you've got to be an excellent, like, fucking world-class director to be able to communicate that to people.
Because, his face in that shot, it's like, oh, my God, like, you're feeling what he's feeling. And, like, oh, it's, like, it's so upsetting. I couldn't eat after I saw this movie. It just, like, freaked me out.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
And then the other thing that they do really efficiently, and, like, this is why I also, like, told everybody I knew to watch this in a theater, because I think that, like, is how... That was intended to be seen. But, like, actually with this movie, it's, like, there are scenes where things in the background are, like, so dark and abstracted that you don't notice it until, like, halfway into the scene. Yeah. And, like, which makes it terrifying because, like, what else haven't you noticed?
Yeah.
Like, and you're basically put into the shoes of the character, which is, like, so much scarier than, like, having a jump scare.
Oh, way, way more effective.
Yeah.
Because then it sticks with you.
Well, I'm thinking, like, specifically of, like, when fucking the kid is, like, he's, like, hanging out in his room and, like, fucking Toni Collette's on the ceiling. But you don't notice that until halfway through the scene.
Yeah.
And then you realize she's been there the entire time.
Fuck. And that one scene when I think somebody else is on the ceiling in the corner of the ceiling.
Yeah.
Is that scene?
Oh, yeah. Probably, like, one of the, like, naked people.
That was fucked up. But... also, an advantage of seeing that movie in a theater is the sound design. That movie in Dolby, I feel like if they would have Dolby in that movie, I would have wanted to see it in Dolby. Because, like, all that, the tongue click, and it's like, it goes from all the different speakers. It's like,
it's so good. And, like, everybody says it's very confusing. I don't find it particularly confusing.
I think it's pretty conventional, more conventional than Midsommar.
I feel like the ending makes like a pretty good bit of sense.
Yeah, I feel like it utilizes so many conventions of the horror genre, but really like invents upon them and like really
definitely
kind of changes them.
God, I love
it
so much.
The ending, I love the ending.
I love the ending too.
I think it's like classic Ari Aster. Like that's when it's like that's his fingerprint.
Yeah, of like the like ending that's like so sad but also kind of happy and like it fits
but also fucked up.
Yeah, like mostly fucked up but like so many emotions.
Yeah.
And
so visually striking.
Yeah,
too.
And in like a moment of stillness. Like that's really impressive. God. Yeah. And just I mean the acting in this movie is ridiculous.
Toni Collette Shout out.
Literally, okay, Toni Collette's, she has, like, two amazing monologues, and then she has the scene where she's like, the I am your mother scene, which, like, Jesus Christ, if you don't have mommy issues, you will after seeing that scene.
Yeah, this movie deals with a lot of psychological just fucking...
Yeah, just, and the idea of, like, generational trauma and, like, just, like, think, like, this cycle is, like, really... really, like, relatable in, like, a fucked up way.
And, like, just trying to seek help. Like, when you're in that much grief and, like, that scene where she's, like, trying to, like, they're meeting the her and the medium, and it's, like, you're just, like, so desperate for anything. It's, like, that is just such an insane
dude, and, moment. Like, after, I mean, like, probably the next 5 minutes after, like, Charlie, the little girl, dies, it's, like, the scenes of Toni Collette, like, cry screaming. It's, like, Jesus Christ.
And cry screaming was also a theme in Midsommar, what he did really well. It's like, that's another Ari Aster little auteurism.
Love cry screaming.
The cry screaming.
Dude, there's something so satisfying about a cry scream. I don't think I've done it since I was very young, but like, I wish I could. Something really bad would have to happen for me to do it, but like.
I don't think I've cry screamed, definitely. Not for a long, long time.
But like, I feel like it would feel really good.
Yeah.
In, like, a bad way.
I've cried.
I mean, we all be crying.
I'm human. My tear ducts work, unlike a King Katarn.
What was the last movie to make you cry? Oh, you know what did it for me was, well, it was also, like, right after I just had a breakup this summer, and I watched this, like, the next day, and I was, like, already in an emotionally compromised state. But the movie Tiger Tail, it's, I think it's a Chinese movie, but it's on Netflix now, and you should check it out. But it's
Tiger
like,
Tail?
Yeah, it's like a guy, and he's just like, it's just a like a character piece, but he's just like reflecting on like his past mistakes and like how he's like kind of like pushed his family away and like how he's like destroyed all of his relationships and stuff. And it's like in the Chinese culture, how like men are like expected to be so like stern and tough and strong, and it's good.
That sounds really sad.
It is.
The last movie that made me cry was Love on the Spectrum.
I thought that was a show.
It's the same thing. But the last episode of Love on the Spectrum, Corey and I both cried really hard.
Aww,
it
that's
was
wholesome.
So sweet because they finally found love. There was one they were married, and but also some of them didn't find love. Like Kelvin. Kelvin was my favorite. He was Asian. He had autism.
I simply only watch Love Island, which is like honestly Love on the Spectrum. I can't say that, we gotta cut that out. I realized as I was saying it, I'm like, we're not gonna be able to keep that in.
Absolutely.
Oh no, I watch so much reality
did TV. You ever watch The Circle? It was like last year.
Kristen and I tried to watch that. That show doesn't make any goddamn sense.
But it does.
No, it doesn't.
It's should, so bad, though. It's so
we
bad.
We should do one, like, one-off episode just on, like, reality shows.
We should. And we should watch, like, Kardashian, because that's ending.
Oh, I never watched Kardashian.
I didn't either. But we should watch Wife Swap.
Oh, my God.
Remember Wife Swap?
So, story time. There was this group of, like, taiko drummers that came to our middle school and did a performance for some reason. There was this one lady who had like a lot of armpit hair, and but like taiko drumming, you're like really throwing your arms up there. So like we were in sixth grade, we were gonna make fun of the armpit hair lady, and like I mean obviously body hair is cool and everything, but she was like a weird hippie lady. And then I remember that happening. And, like a year later, I was just like scrolling through watching Wife Swap, and the armpit hair lady was on Wife Swap.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
She swapped husbands.
Yeah.
She got swapped.
She got swapped.
Ooh. That's like cuck before cuck.
Wife Swap is crazy.
That's a horrible concept for a television show. Like who
you know what
fuck?
Always is? There's always it's always a cool family, like a cool hippie family, and then like some really snuck up bitch just like pops over and is like, you need discipline. God,
fuck. Remember Super Nanny?
I never watched Super Nanny.
It was so good. It was so good.
Flavor of Love, Rock of Love. That's essential viewing. You gotta see it. It's insane. Ari Aster.
Anywho, Ari Aster.
Okay.
Yeah, Hereditary, do you have anything else
to say? I don't think I have anything else to say right now in Hereditary. I just love it so much because it's like, it really was the first movie in a very, very, very long time to like really make me feel something so strongly in like such a visceral way that like it just like it shook me to my core. And I love it so much. And honestly, like, I think it's really the scariest movie I've ever seen. And some people are like, I don't find it scary at all. And I'm like, are you a sociopath? Maybe. I think it's terrifying. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. Ditto all that. It's so, when you tell people about it, like, if you say the log line, like, it sounds like a fucking cliche horror movie. Like, you're like, absolutely. Oh, this is a fucking first-time director. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, it's a horror movie. There's a ghost. But it's so, so fucking good. And it utilizes all those conventions. And, like, but tricks you into, like falling into a sense of, like, oh, I know what's going to happen. Like, ah, I got this. And he just flips the table. He just pulls the rug right out from under you.
Once again, Toni Collette is a treasure. I feel like every podcast we're going to bring up how amazing Toni Collette is.
Hopefully,
if we're lucky. She is so talented. Oh, my God.
Her cry scream, best in the biz.
But, like, just her facial expressions in that movie, too. Oh, yeah. Just ridiculous.
Everything. Her nuances, her tone of voice, her, like, everything.
Yeah. And the other, the psychic lady, I forget her name, but she's, like, a great character actor, and she's in The Leftovers, and she's awesome, too. And then, yeah, I think that's probably it for now on Hereditary. I'm sure we'll think of other things and come back to it.
Definitely.
Midsommar.
Midsommar.
God, I love this movie too. This movie is so fucking good.
I like it more than Hereditary.
I don't think I like it as much, but like I don't think it's so hard just because there's such different movies, and I think it's like it's difficult to compare them because he really went entirely different directions.
Oh yeah.
But I think it was only because I feel like while Hereditary like triggered like an emotional response, like Midsommar triggered such a response of anxiety from me because like it just made me I felt that.
Yeah. In Hereditary, it's more of like the horror and the sorrow, I feel, and in Midsommar, it's definitely the anxiety and that just like loss of control entirely. And like that's the flip of like when they find the body, when the naked guy finds the body, and it's like, oh fuck, they've been planning this for a while. And then you watch it again, it's like, oh fuck, like there's so many clues, like they knew it all along.
Yeah,
like even from the first shot. The first shot is like that, the fucking nursery rhyme and like the old timey ways, and it's like the pictures, and it's just the plot of the film.
God, and the opening. Like scene is so upsetting.
It's like almost the opposite of Hereditary, where in Hereditary it was delayed so far into the movie that you almost didn't think it was gonna happen, and then here it was just like right out of the bag.
Yeah. Oh, and it's so upsetting. It like it was definitely like, oh, I didn't like that, but like in a good way.
No, definitely. It was very like fucking, you know, it was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And there's so much I can say about Midsommar, but first of all, the main question around the movie, would you say it's a happy ending or a bad ending? Like a downward ending, uphill ending for Dani's character?
Upward. She's the May Queen. She got saved. She's living in paradise.
She won the title.
She's living in that awesome cult. She gets to take mushrooms every now and then.
I mean, I agree it's a happy ending. And I think, the character of like the friend who like brings them there, it's like that's a point of contention with a lot of people of like whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. I think he's a good guy.
It's fucked up that his whole intention of becoming friends with them was to recruit them for this May Queen festival.
He's not the best.
It's fucking definitely sheds new light on that character, adds a couple layers there.
But like in the greater scope of like the story and stuff, I feel like
From the perspective of the cult, yeah, absolutely. he's so heroic. Like, oh my god, yeah.
But like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I fall into the trap of experiencing the movie solely through Dani's perspective, because I feel like I relate to her a lot in like certain ways. So like, it was definitely like me falling into that. I'm like, he's not that bad of a guy. He's just trying to support her, which he is. I mean, he's more supportive of her than her own boyfriend. Yeah. But, like, I guess he is, like, a murderer.
He's a nice guy, don't get me wrong. He's a friendly fella. But, I mean, when you get right down to it, I mean, when you have that in the back of your mind, the whole time you're being friends with somebody, it's like, what the fuck? Like, it sort of invalidates the whole thing, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, you just came to bring me here to kill me? Like, excuse me?
Well, like, was the plan to kill all of them? Or, like, I feel like they all were killed because they were, like, doing, like, things that were, like, disrespectful or whatever.
Maybe. That's a really good point, because they were.
Yeah. Like, they all died because they had, like, done something bad. And that's why...
And Dani never did anything.
Yeah, that's why Dani didn't die.
Maybe it's, like...
That's why she was May Queen.
Respect the native cultures.
Yeah, which, like...
Absolutely.
Valid.
I love that. I love that theme.
Yeah, but,
yeah, he's a good guy, I guess. If you view it from their perspective and from, like, the culture's perspective, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone who lived at the end, oh, yeah, he's a saint, a hero. He brought so many
people. I guess the people who he kind of killed would probably disagree
if
with
you're
me.
Looking at it from their perspective, or anyone in America, probably not.
I don't know. I just, like, everybody was like, oh, he's not a good guy, and I'm like, I don't think he's that bad.
He was good up until, like, the final few minutes where you were like, oh, he's sacrificing himself too? Like, oh, no.
Big fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think the movie is especially, like, extremely stylistically, like, proficient. Like, it's so, like... I don't think I've ever seen, like, a horror movie so brightly lit, which is, like, a really bold choice in and of itself.
But then, like, sun.
Yeah, that idea of, like, what you fear is right in front of you. Like, it's not it's not hiding in the shadows. It's all around you. And, like, you just have to live in that. And that's crazy. Oh, like, not many films have ever done that. That's really impressive.
Yeah, and just, like you said, stylistically, it reminded me of, like, a Hitchcock movie where it's, like, he says he has every shot in his head before he shoots.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, each shot is perfectly, like,
oh,
planned.
Oh, it's so intentional,
like, it's
yeah.
like, oh, this is going to show you this, and then we're going to show you this, and then this is what you're going to see. It's just like, oh, fuck. It's not like, oh, shot, reverse shot, we'll get some coverage, like, ah, oh, we'll fix it in post. It's so good. It's so good.
I don't know. And, like, thematically, it's, like, I felt, like I said, like, I feel like in so many ways, like, I saw, like, I not saw myself in Dani's character, but, like, I related to, like, her, like, in some levels of emotion, because, like, we've all been through periods where we, like, feel, like, maybe not exactly what she's feeling, but, like, something that feels, in our perspective, similar, and, like, I think that feeling of, like, wanting to, like, keep all of that away from everyone else, well, like, it's eating you up, and then, like, finally having that release of this community that, like, wants you to be open and, like, wants to, like, kind of live off of those feelings, like, that's really cathartic. And I, like, I don't know, like, well, it's not a relatable situation in the slightest.
But the,
like,
emotions, you know where she's coming from.
Yeah.
It's human. Yeah.
It's so human. Like, I feel like those feelings, like, anybody could relate to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's so interesting that it's like, ah, oh, fuck, cut that. The cult seems awesome, I have to say. I would totally join that cult. I would not be disrespectful. I wouldn't piss on the tree. I'd be a nice guy, and I'd be like, oh, you all are friendly and...
bold character
you
choice.
Live off the, you live off the land. And it's like,
Will Poulter just, like, vaping through the entire movie.
He literally had a marijuana vape pen through the whole entire movie and was hitting it in the middle of the scenes. My movie details is that he walked onto the set of that, not in the script, and he said, I'm going to vape. My character's going to vape. And they said, okay.
That's, like, our Jude Law theory.
Oh, Jude Law?
So in the film Vox Lux with Natalie Portman, amazing film, nobody saw.
Great movie, up until the final, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Jude Law just, like, vapes in every scene, and it's not like it's pertinent to his character really interesting or any kind of directorial choice. He just jewels the entire time.
Like a cigarette. Like, he's, like, in a noir, he's, like, stressed out, he's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And he takes a puff off the jewel.
And it's like attention wasn't called to it, which makes me think that Jude Law literally can't go an entire like 10 minutes without drooling.
I would love for that to be the truth. I really hope that's true.
Yeah, so if anybody has any intel on that situation, I would, like, really, really like to know.
If anyone can get Jude Law on the podcast, let us know.
If anybody has any hookups to get us Jude Law on
or
the line.
Or some Jewel pods.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, Midsommar, it's a really good movie.
Also,
good Scry Cream scene. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, very good cries. Yeah, that's...
Scream, cry...
cry scream scene. I broke Graham. Graham is broken.
Yeah, it's a great cream scry scream.
Yeah, I don't know, it's like it's something about it, it's very satisfying, and like
it builds too.
I get what this one, people are like, what is Midsommar about? And like,
what,
like what, just watch the movie. Like,
I hate that all the trends on YouTube where it's like, like, this movie explained, ending explained, yeah. And like, let me explain this movie, which is pretty much just like, let me recite to you the IMDb description of this movie and like fucking explain to you what you saw.
I don't know, I'm always of the school of thought of like, whatever you get from a movie is valid, because that's like, film is subjective, and like, what you got from it is what you got.
That's what I loved and hated about that movie Mother, with Darren Aronofsky. Did you ever see that?
I did not. My mom told me to, but I never saw
it. It was super good and very, like, abstract, metaphorical, and you're like, oh, there's biblical references. And then everyone was like that, where they're like, oh, what's it about? Like, I don't get it, Charlie. Like, she didn't live in a house. And so he finally explained, and he was like, well, in my mind, it was an environmentalism allegory. And she was supposed to be Mother Earth. That. And so then everyone was like, this is the ending explained.
I
like,
hate that.
No.
That's what, I mean, Charlie Kaufman did this too, but like, I will always love David Lynch for like, anytime anybody's like, what does this mean? He's like, fuck you is what it means. Stop asking me this shit.
I fucking love it. I love that. Because honestly, that's what art is, you fucking dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, just look at it and
stop trying to figure out what it means and start focusing on how it makes you feel.
Very well spoken.
Yeah.
Very well put.
So, do we have anything else to say about Midsommar? I feel like there's so much you could talk about with that movie. The scene with the people jumping off the cliffs. Here's my thing.
Ooh.
Here's my thing.
Reincarnation again.
Yeah, and like, I don't think that's that bad of a practice.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. You should not freak out about that.
Yeah.
It's like, especially in their culture, it's like, this is like, you're gonna like go to God. You're gonna pretty much get enlightened by sacrificing yourself like this. Like, this is the pinnacle of your life.
And like, I don't know, I've always liked the idea of like somebody dying on their own terms and like getting to like an age where you feel like you're no longer like contributing what you want to contribute to the world around you and like your community, and like getting to a point where you're like, no, I'm gonna return to like what I came from. Like, I'm okay with this. I'm doing this like for me. Like, that's powerful. I think there's value in that, even though our society is so set on like prolonging like our lives as long as we can. And I don't know if we should.
No, you brought up a great, excellent point. And it's like, I think there's like a city in India where they're like that, where it's like Benares, India, where it's like, if you die there, it's like the best thing to happen to you ever, like ever in any life. Like, you die in Benares, you fucking got it made. And so it's like all these crippled people and like all these people who are literally dying go there. And so the streets are just all full of people dying.
Wow.
And dead
people. That's
interesting. But it's like, they think it's like this beautiful, holy, like,
wow,
like amazing thing.
I don't know. Like, I just don't want to die having thought that I wasted the last like 20 years of my life just trying to live longer.
Yeah. Especially if I'm like, I can't change myself, and it's like, I'm living on the machine. And it's like, it's a pain to live.
Yeah, and like, I'd always be worried that I'm like becoming a burden to the people around me. And like, I'm not, like, this might be controversial, but it's like, I think you get to a point like where you're not really living life anymore. And like, I feel like our culture is like gotten so accustomed to like that being the norm and being okay, when I just like, I don't know. It's not what I would want for myself.
Yeah, it's like literally all like medical, scientific, anything surrounding death or dying is all about how can we prolong life the longest.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. It's how can we, like, put drugs in your system? How can we hook you up to all these fancy scientific machines? It's like, I sound like a fucking Luddite, but it's true. It's like, at a point, the quality of life has to be so bad that it's like, I don't want to live like that, honestly.
And I think, like, there's so much value in just, like, accepting the time that you have, like, on this earth, and, like, just being okay with that and living that to its fullest.
And I think the mindset... Moving on. I think the mindset of when you die is really important. And
yes.
It's like, that is like the momentum into whatever.
Whatever is there like, is.
Like, if you kill yourself, that's bad momentum.
Yeah.
Like, if you go out in that mindset.
I mean, there has been stories from, like, people who killed themselves and, like, died for a bit and then came back. Like, of, like, and they were like, yeah, it was not good.
See, that those are the near-death stories, and, like, those stories that scare me is, like, the bad ones.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
I just want the void.
Yeah, the beautiful, the emptiness,
the beautiful void,
the non-dual, like just everything.
I think, like, I mean, generally, there's like such a fear of death. I mean, I'm probably afraid of death to some extent, but I'd say
everyone is.
But I'd say I'm also largely not, because I was depressed all through my teenage years. Who isn't? But like also. Like, it's just, you're going to find out the answer to one of, like, the greatest mysteries.
True.
That we have on this earth. And, like, you're going to know it. And isn't that cool?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. That, like, then you'll know.
Yeah. And that's the only way to know.
That's so cool. Like, that's kind of a cool aspect about death. Wow.
Welcome back to the Death Podcast. Also, acting in Midsommar's pretty amazing. Florence Pugh is like
so good. She's the Toni Collette.
Yeah. She is. She's the Gen Z Toni Collette. How old is she?
I don't know.
She was also in that movie with like Nick Frost where they're like wrestlers or whatever. And like, you know what? It's not bad. It's a shitty movie, but it's like
she's 24 years old.
So I guess she would be a millennial.
So do with that what you will.
Yeah. You should be a young millennial. We're cuspers.
We're cuspers. That's what I always like to say. I say, I'm a cusper.
We don't fit in anywhere.
Yeah, it's true, though. We've got a little bit of both. We got a little bit of ginger, a little bit of spice.
We're alive for 9/11, but we don't remember it.
Apparently I watched 9/11. With my dad. Like, he
I just pictured, like, baby Graham on the streets of New York.
I walked through blood and bones in the streets of Manhattan looking for my brother.
All my family was in North Carolina, where we lived at the time, because my birthday is the 13th. So, like, two days before my birthday.
That's sad.
Everybody was a little bummed on my first birthday.
Yeah, I don't remember 9/11, though. No. It's probably in there somewhere.
Yeah.
If I watched it. Like, that, my dad told me that this summer. He was like,
were you like awake? Like
yeah, I was like apparently sitting on his like in his lap, like watching 9/11.
The ability to perceive at that point in your life.
Probably. I was born in 99. I was born in December 99.
So you were like talking by that point, right?
I was almost a year. I would have been a year in December. Oh. So I was like 8, 9, 10 9 months.
Do kids talk at 1 year old?
Probably not. No. I don't know. They probably go.
I don't know how kids work.
Maybe.
I haven't been one in a while.
I was one once, don't get me wrong. I have experience.
Everybody in that cast is pretty well known. Except, I didn't... Her, like, boyfriend in that, I don't really know what else he's in. But he looks like Chris Pratt.
It's true, but he's not Chris Pratt.
Thank you.
Jack Rayner.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but he was really good at playing an asshole.
Yeah. Like, that kind of asshole that's not, like, outwardly an asshole, but it's oh, you're
very
kind
subtle.
Of a dick. Yeah. But yeah, and then Will Poulter and Chidi from The Good Place. I don't know the actor's name.
Was he the black one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can't believe that one kid, not the black one, but the other one.
Will Poulter.
Will Poulter, he's like Paul Dano. Because he's just like this disgusting. Like, I don't like to look at his face and like just his general
vibe.
Yeah,
I agree. And like, I know exactly what you're saying, but I do like Paul Dano.
He's a good director. Wildlife. Did you see Wildlife?
I did not see Wildlife, but I've been meaning to.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
I mean, I like Paul Dano as an actor.
He's so good. Wildlife was so good. It was really sad. It was about like a divorce.
There Will Be Blood.
And oh, yeah, he's really good.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine is so classic.
Honestly, like, if you say you don't like Little Miss Sunshine, you're a pretentious piece of shit, and you're
wrong.
You
don't have a heart if you say you don't like Little Miss Sunshine.
God, yeah, that movie's so fun.
Little Miss Sunshine and Napoleon Dynamite, I think. Did they come out in the same year?
Yeah.
I think so.
Possibly. Or, like, around
it's
the
same
time
period. It's,
like,
something like that, where it's, like...
Well, Napoleon Dynamite, I understand why people don't like it more, because, like, I feel like you have to watch it, like, three times in order to like
Napoleon
it.
Dynamite
I love
so
it
so much. That's the same thing with True West, is you have to watch it multiple times and be like, oh, this is so fucking weird.
The thing with Napoleon Dynamite is, like, literally anybody... I watched it, like, a bunch when I was, like, a little kid. So, like, I never had to, like, go through the period of not liking, because when you're a kid and you watch things, you're like, this is fine. But, like, oh, God, that movie's fantastic. And there's so many little things in that movie that, like, aren't jokes, but they're really funny.
It's like every line is quotable.
Yeah.
It's like every line you come through a different time you watch, you're like, oh, I'm going to say that one from now on.
Okay, my favorite scene, most underrated scene in that movie, Uncle Rico is, like, showing the couple, like, the Tupperware, and he, like, pulls the... like boat in a bottle out of the box, and then like the lady turns to her husband and she's like, I want that. I want to be her for Halloween.
Oh my god. There's my I think the my favorite scene is the pocket tots.
The pocket tots.
That can't be beat in my mind. when I first saw it, I was like, oh my god.
I feel like, and also, this is actually a question for you as a Midwesterner.
I'll answer.
So in Napoleon Dynamite, like the old farmer who like you can't like
when he shoots
speaks
the cow.
He speaks in gibberish. My mom can understand what he says in those scenes. Can you?
I'm gonna look this up because I don't know what you're talking about. Honestly.
He just like mumbles a bunch of shit, and like I was in a room with a bunch of people, and everyone was like, "What's he saying?" Their mom's like, "Oh, he said this."
Dynamite.
I feel like your Midwestern origins might help you.
Midwestern man? Old man, mumbling man?
Old farmer man.
Old farmer man.
Over there? And I found myself on the arrowheads.
The arrowheads. He's looking for arrowheads. We can't just watch Napoleon Dynamite clips. What are we doing? But yeah.
The line after that when he's like, I don't know a word you just said, boy. So good. Oh my god.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Jesus Christ. We're talking about Ari Aster in this podcast.
Midsommar is really good.
Midsommar is amazing. I don't know if I have that much else to say about it, but it's just like...
We covered a lot about it.
Yeah, we did. It's just so good.
Holy shit. So, Ari Aster, a great man, a mysterious man. Do you have any other interesting, or some would say fun facts about Ari Aster?
I do happen to have a fun fact, Graham. So in the promotion of Midsommar, some people might know this. I had never heard this before, so I considered it a fun fact. Ari Aster did a specific promotion that gave free couples counseling to early buyers, which is just amazing. Like, that's fantastic.
It's a good marketing twist. That's a funny twist.
Wait, before we go, though, what would you say he's trying to convey overall with, like, both of his films? Because I feel like this is a hard one because they're both so different.
Yeah, they are very different films. But I would definitely say loss in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Midsommar starts out with fucking losing all your family.
Like, well, and Hereditary starts out with the death, too.
Yeah, and it continues
well, double
with the death.
Yeah.
Double death. And so I think loss and death are major, major themes. But also that sense of anxiety and fucking that control being taken away from you. Like, in Hereditary, I feel like it was more through the like, ghost shit, where it's like, oh, I don't know what's going on with that ghost shit.
Like, what's that ghost doing?
When I walked out of that movie, I was like, you can't fuck with that spirit shit. Like, don't fuck with it, because you don't know what's going on there.
But it do be fun, though.
Don't get me wrong. I'll fuck around a little. But it was, like, that control. Like, you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And in Midsommar, it was a lot more external, where it's like you're at this cult. You can't get back. You don't know where you are. You don't know what's going on. They're trying to manipulate you. Like,
yeah.
They're fucked up. They're cool. And I think that sense of control and like loss of control.
Yeah.
Anxiety.
I totally agree with that. I think you're absolutely right. And I think I think a big theme in both of the movies is like you're – emotions versus like the external, like the way you control your emotions around other people and like who you're trying to like portray in doing so, and like the absurdity of that, the fact that we are feeling all of these things all the time but we like never really express that to anybody around us because it's hard.
Yeah,
it's really hard
and
to do.
Scary.
So it's terrifying, and like it's just not, it's not normalized, like it's just not what we do. But like how crazy that is, that we like we have the ability to communicate and we don't communicate what we're so overwhelmingly feeling all the time.
Fuck, that's so fucking true.
But like, and it's gotten to the point where like I feel like it's difficult to do so, like not only like because of like societal norms and social yeah. norms, but like physiologically it's like it's hard to properly express the things we experience on such a daily basis.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's fucked up, and it makes us, everyone feels so alone. It feels like we're in this
yeah.
this cage of this personality and
mm-hmm.
everything and our thoughts about ourselves and what other people think of ourselves, and it's like we build this prison that we sit in, and little to our knowledge, it's all our thoughts.
Yeah,
like we're all just here. Like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
We get to watch movies. Like, this is awesome.
We're all here. That's it.
It's true. And I think that's a good theme.
Yeah.
Ari Aster's movies.
I'd say that's a good note to end on. As usual, follow me on Twitter, but not Graham, because
yeah,
Graham doesn't use his Twitter.
That's true.
I'm at Stella Film, Stella's Films. Follow Graham's Instagram.
Follow my photography Instagram, F_Instagram, G-R-A-H-A-M. It's a play on words of a Finsta.
Very clever.
Thank you.
Follow our Instagram for podcasts at pods.emerson and our Twitter at emersonpods. To get more updates on this podcast, as well as a bunch of other podcasts about similar nonsense right out of the Emerson community. So thanks so much if you made it this far.
Congrats.
Congrats. Keep watching movies. Keep tuning in.